Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode. Today, I want to go through the shoulder rebuild guide, looking at how we can improve shoulder stability, remove joint pain where possible, and really understand what's happening with the shoulder to get it back to full function without pain. This is something that I've learned over working with thousands of clients over the last decade and really have an obsession around movement and making sure that we move correctly, which has a huge aspect. But why did I even start there? That was because I've had 9, maybe 10 dislocations at this point. I've now had 3 shoulder surgeries and I've had to go through a rehabilitation period many, many times to make sure that I could get back to as close to full function as I can manage. Now, I'm actually 14 weeks post my last surgery, so this is actually still a recent event. My range of my shoulder is still about horizontal to my body as opposed to being able to really get up overhead. So this is something I'm actively going through right now. And the reason I want to share it with you is not only am I noticing that there's some discrepancies in the support system and the knowledge base around how to build back shoulder stability, because it is a really, really complex joint. It's a very open capsule joint, which means that there's a lot of opportunity to strain and tweak and even tear a lot of the soft tissue surrounding it, because from a actual structural bone standpoint, it's a very open capsule. There's a lot of things that can happen there, and that's why there's a lot of pain that comes through. But also, there are a little bit of research around how common this is. In older adults, or let's go adults above 30 to 40, we're seeing that there's an average of 18 to 20% of the population are having some sort of active shoulder problems right now. So looking at that, is pretty well a quarter of adults right now have some sort of shoulder pain. It's a pretty prominent issue. And coming back to my first point, it's because it's such an open capsule. There's lots of possibilities or ways for it to go wrong. And if we're not able to address what is going on and then ultimately what can we do about it, then never really gets better, right? We take another Panadol, we look at limiting our range or even activities to work around a body that's not working with us. And if you followed us for any length of time, our entire goal is making sure that you can do the things you want to do in a body you love, in a way that you can structure your day, your week, your months, in a way that you do the things you want to do and your body does not hold you back. That's our entire purpose. So where I want to start is I want to break this down into the 3 areas that you need to consider as to why you're having shoulder pain and potentially elbow pain as well, and why they're so connected. We want to look at where's the motion coming through that may be causing those issues. And then lastly, what type of training are we doing that's helping or hindering that as well? Okay. So where I want to start is addressing you from a posture standpoint and understanding that imbalances and instability is going to be one of the most common reasons for some version of shoulder strain. And if you're anything like 90% of the population, where you're in a desk job, you're sedentary, you're generally not moving a lot, the general posture that tends to happen here is we round into things this way, right? We see the shoulders are slightly elevated. We're using a lot of that tension in our traps, or at least the upper traps through here. So we tend to raise our shoulders a little bit. Maybe there's an anxiety, a stress component. And of course, there's a physical reaction. When we're stressed, we tend to hold our shoulders higher. If we're sitting at a desk, we are leaning forward with our head more. That's all going to have an impact on the level of strain on our neck. And of course, a lot of reasons for headaches, a lot of reasons for that tight neck, but it also impacts the scapular position. And when I say scapula and shoulder blade, I'm going to use them interchangeably, but an awareness of ultimately where those shoulder blades sit on your back. If there's winging or rounding of the shoulder blades, then your shoulders are in a lot more exposed position. If you're allowing your chest to be tall and your shoulders is down and back, that's a phrase that if you've been in any gym scenario where you're trying to train chest or back, shoulders down and back is something that would be repeated above anything else. So looking at this through the lens of training will certainly do, but simply an assessment of your structure, how you're sitting right now or watching this video, where do you generally sit? And if there's a rounding through the shoulders, there's a forward motion of your neck, there's an elevation of your shoulders, all of those things are something we want to consider in regards to where that instability comes through. Now, why that's so important is if you move yourself into an exercise environment, and we're going to look at this through simply weight training, if we think about it through a simple chest press, right? If you're just pushing the thing up and down, that means, or a dumbbell up and down, that means that your body is just going to naturally put tension where you're strongest, which means you have no active control or awareness over what muscles that's using. And that, quite honestly, for at least a large majority of the exercise-related shoulder issues is a lack of awareness of how to move correctly. And we do workshops all around the country working with PTs and clients, and by PTs, I mean personal trainers, in order to do this stuff properly. So I've done it a lot of times and I've seen it done incorrectly so many times. So when we come down into a motion, what tends to happen is we see the shoulder elevate and there's no real stability in the back. So if you're watching this in video, then you're starting to see my shoulder pop out. All right, you're starting to see this elevation of what's happening here. So actively pulling those shoulders back and down and having that chest on top so your shoulders aren't popping up, that in itself is going to have a significant impact simply through an awareness of how to do a motion. And the reason I'm emphasizing this right now, again, is through a frustration of a very narrow-minded industry, is when we have an issue with our shoulder, we only look at the shoulder being the issue. We don't look at how this has been caused, which can be what we're doing at our desk, how we're probably exercising throughout the day, the imbalances and how we hold ourselves being the very reason for the pain occurring. And if we're only ever looking at it through the reactive narrow lens of the shoulder, right, I'm going to do another external rotation exercise, we're not actually looking at the problem, right? So if we look at instability or this posture alignment issue, we can start to assess that where those shoulders need to be attached or need to be placed, and making sure that we're training effectively to stabilize again. And this is why that weight training space is so exciting, is it's not just allowing us to make the shifts from a body composition lens. If we're looking to drop body fat, increase muscle mass, we're able to, in a very real way, adjust our posture by building the muscles in places that we are weak. Now, we are never going to get to a point where we simply train a muscle that it pulls ourselves into a certain position, but by balancing out the overall muscle tissue in our body, it makes a significant difference to the overworking of certain muscles. And if you walk into any gym around the country or the world, you'll notice that there's a general flaring of the elbows and elevation of the shoulders, or simply a massive overdevelopment of the front delt in comparison to the chest or other muscles. And that's because this lack of stability in the shoulder blade, the scapula as we're talking about, is because these shoulders tend to move around. And when they're doing a bench press, nobody's actually focusing on what needs to be strong and stable. So if nothing else that you take away from today's training is looking at the stability of your scapula, your shoulder blades, driving them into the bench, wrapping them down towards your back pocket, being a motion that when doing rows and chest press allow us as a really good place to start. Now, there's some nuances of that. You know, when we're looking at contracting our lats, it's very much a depression of the shoulder blades, really driving those shoulder blades down. Whereas when it's a chest press, it's actually more of a pinch of your mid-back, trying to make sure it's the lower trap. So the function of both those muscles is depression of the shoulder blade or pulling down, but it's going to be a different muscle. And the simple difference is with a lat, it's going to pull your arm in, whereas with a lower trap, it's going to allow you to freely move the arm while depress the shoulder blades. Now, that's an advanced sort of 2.0 version, but simply starting with driving the shoulder blades down and back and being aware of that movement of the shoulder blades has to be a good place to start. Now, that's obviously through a weight training lens, but if we're looking at this through an exercise injury, that's usually where that starts. The second part we need to look at is repetitive motion, right? So what motions through your work are you doing on a day-to-day basis? The obvious one I've seen come through a lot is a painter, right? We're seeing that we're using the shoulder in this sort of upper range all of the time, and we notice there's a huge amount of overuse in that position. Hey, I hope you're really enjoying this episode. I wanted to take a quick second to say, please reach out to me on social media. Some people worry about interrupting me or sending me emails, but I love to hear how these podcasts and videos are impacting you and what future content you'd really like to hear. So if you could reach out to me and let me know how this podcast has helped or what you'd like us to dive into, that'd be amazing, and we'll make sure that we bring the most relevant content to you moving forward. Also, if you know someone that you think this could really impact and benefit, they could listen to on their morning walk or their commute or when they're in the kitchen, then it'd be amazing if you can tag them in a post or simply share this on Spotify or wherever else you listen with them. It makes a massive difference in making sure that we can serve and help as many people as we can. All right, let's get back to the episode. Awesome to have you here. Now, in by itself, that motion, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but repetitive overuse of a muscle, what it causes, again, is very similar to the exercise component, is there's a lack of balance with other muscles. And as we've talked about in previous trainings, as we've talked about activations, as we've talked about an awareness of how to effectively weight train to maintain a level of balance and safety throughout how you move. It's making sure we look at it through the lens of what muscles are weakest and how do we build this balance overall. It's just the classic, where's the weakest link? Because if we're noticing that there's tightness, and this is where I noticed it first, is working with yoga instructors that had had an injury and they just weren't getting better. They'd keep stretching the hamstring, it would stay tight. And as we worked through, we started to notice there was massive instability or weakness through the hips. We were noticing that hip flexors or potentially glutes or some other muscle there that they weren't addressing from a strength standpoint was really starting to get in the way. So this really brings me to my first point. First, we've gone through instability. Second, we've gone through repetition or repetitive motions. And then lastly, we need to look at strength or muscle overall. And the reason we look at this lens is because there's an obsession in the general health space that we need to stretch a muscle. If something is tight, we must stretch it. And if there is weakness in a position and we're about to exercise, or maybe we've just injured a muscle and there's tightness, the last thing you want to do is stretch that muscle. The whole reason that there's tightness there is it's a protective mechanism from the body in order to keep you safe. So if you're going ahead and stretching that muscle, you are simply stretching beyond your safe limit of that muscle that your body is trying to protect you from. And we think we're smart for stretching muscles and making ourselves limber rather than actually looking at the weakness or the reason for the problem, which is the weaker muscles in that link. Now, this doesn't need to be a complicated space. Sometimes this is where having a professional in your corner makes a really big difference, but simply think of what's the opposite muscle to this one that's tight that maybe isn't working as it should. Now, an easy way to look at this is if you always have tight hamstrings, what are the opposite muscles that play there? It's going to be your quad muscles, yes. It's going to be your hip flexor muscles, which actually technically one of those muscles, those quads that join over your hip, being your rectus femoris, is going to be a lot of that stability of the hip. Another opposite muscle or another muscle around it through that lens, maybe looking through core, and core again is abdominals, it could be lower back, it could be glutes. How do we improve the stability of the surrounding musculature of that muscle, right? If we're noticing that the shoulder is the one that's tight, maybe there's weakness through the back, right? How do we create that stability through the shoulder blade? So if we're looking at it through, and we've done series through knees and ankles and all of these muscles before, but especially with shoulders, which is today's focus, that scapula or shoulder stability is number one, right? If we don't have stability there, it's like trying to jump off a surfboard in the middle of the ocean, instable, versus you jumping with both feet off, you know, the ground right now. There's a big difference in your stability with where you can push off. And if we're ever going to contract a muscle, create stimulus in a muscle while training, one side needs to be anchored in order the other muscle to actually manipulate movement. All right, hopefully that makes sense. So if there's a lack of movement entirely, contracting muscles and finding the weaker muscles rather than simply continuing to stretch, really easy place to start. Or if you are currently exercising, maybe addressing what are the muscles that you're overemphasizing versus the ones that are weak and need a bit more work. Now, when it comes to the shoulder, and this is a nuance and there's a lot here that I'm not going to dive too deep into. And if you want access to the full rundown and actual visual representation of what muscles are intact, what this actually looks like, simply comment shoulder rebuild below and I'll send you the full training. It's about a 40-minute training where me and Jeff Willibury go through the entire assessment of the shoulder, the anatomy that's really happening, and then simply the function of what's going through. But if you simply understand the basics of we need to address the instability in the shoulder, we need to address the weaknesses that are really holding you back. And when we do that, it makes a significant difference downstream. Now, I had this question Tuesday, which was, okay, what about elbow issues? At the end of the day, this is just the same conversation a lot of the time, because at the end of the day, the elbow only bends one way. It's a hinge joint. There's no rotation at the elbow. This is, if you rotate your arm that way, it's happening from the shoulder. So if there's instability up at the shoulder, sometimes you might not be getting shoulder issues. Maybe it's a little bit more downstream and it's at the elbow. All right. So at the end of the day, that wrapping the shoulder blades down and back, thinking about the way you are moving through your day. What are the muscles that are always working? What are the ones that are never working? And if we start there, we start to bring back a level of stability, control, and awareness of what we are doing. Now, the last thing I want to go through today is, okay, well, we've got some shoulder issues coming through. I wish I knew this 10 years ago, but where do I start right now? What do I work on? Now, The big one is we've already talked about stretching, right? Which is we can get a joint through a certain amount of range. Now, if we've already got pain, we've already had a strain in our shoulder, we need to work with what's active, right? Again, if we've had a strain, we haven't had that assessed, then getting a health professional in that space to assess if this is actually an injury and to what degree is this torn. For me, you know, I've had the classic tweaks while weight training. I've also had full blown grade 4 tears, i.e. the muscle being torn entirely off the joint and having to be reattached, or off the bone and having to be reattached. I've even had the muscle torn off the bone, reattached, and then partway up the tendon, that tearing as well. So I'm pretty experienced in the field of knowing what level of strain is going to happen at the shoulder. So looking at the finding out ultimately to what level of injury you have. But if we're starting through, okay, how do we make this, you know, we've gone through the recovery process required by a health professional. Where do we start and what do we build into from there? Where I would suggest we start is a simple isometric. There's three types of contraction of muscle: isometric, concentric, and eccentric. The difference there is isometric is holding a certain position, concentric is shortening the muscle, and then eccentric is lengthening. Now stay with me, because the reason I bring that up is that in that order is the strength of that muscle, or the strength of that type of contraction. I.e., you're going to be much stronger in an isometric, you're going to be stronger in an isometric position than you are in an eccentric position, and then you're going to be stronger in an eccentric position than you are in a concentric or shortening. This is, by the way, where we start to use pull-up training progressions, getting someone to their first pull-up or building up their training strength in a pull-up is working through those three levels of contraction to build that strength. But another topic. So the reason I start with this is, one, it's safe, and two, you're working within the constraints of your current limitations. And they are limitations, and they're ones that we should listen to, not stretch beyond. So where we start here is we're going to do a simple isometric, typically in a arm by your side external rotation position. Again, I was, just to give you context, about 6 to 8 weeks post-surgery before I was cleared to start contraction. There's absolutely still a period, especially after surgery, required to simply heal, and in my case, reattach muscle to bone to make sure that we lock that in place. Once we've gone through that process, it's now going to be a case of contracting the muscle, getting that a little bit of contraction there. And this is the really, really key. And this is one that we talk through this video with Jeff, and the one I can send through is that when you get strong in a particular range and you go to the end of that range and contract that muscle there, what we build is strength 15 degrees either side of that. So 30 degrees total, which means over time, if we get strong here, in a week or so, we'll be able to get to here. And then after that, we'll be able to go to here. And we start to get more and more external rotation until we have that full function back. Now we've done that in that certain position. And this is where the video will break down. There's a rotator cuff is not actually a muscle. It's a collection of four muscles. So we need to think about how we're training it through what range. So there's an external rotation here. It might be somewhere up here. It might be right up at horizontal. It might be even in front of you and externally rotating this way. So we're actually contracting and stabilizing or strengthening all of the muscles that protect that shoulder joint. All right. So I'm not going to go too deep into that. If you want to go through the full training, this is something that's more, you know, something you're really interested in, then simply comment shoulder rebuild below and I'll send you through the entire training. But simply that assessment, or starting with the ability to know my body is giving me a limit for a reason. And when I can contract and get strong in that range, my body over time will give me more range. Versus the opposite of, I'm going to stretch myself way outside the range I can actually manage, and I just stay tight because my body constantly stays unstable. And when I'm not stable, it gets tight. All right. So this is something I'm going through right now. It's been really beneficial to understand the mechanism behind how muscles and how that whole protective mechanism actually works. And then from there, it's allowing me to gradually build into more and more range while staying strong. So there's a much less risk of injury while continuing to build that stability of the joint. So that's what I want to go through today with today's shoulder training. Hopefully if that didn't go on too many different tangents, but it's something that I'm learning a lot about, even when I thought I knew a lot about muscle movement overall, starting to look at the stability of the overall shoulder functional and how to rebuild function post-injury. Hopefully that gives you a quick synopsis of what I've been learning over the last couple of years post big shoulder injury multiple surgeries, and now the rebuild process. Hope you have an amazing week, guys. Hopefully that was helpful and not too in-depth. And if you want access to the full training, like I said, just comment shoulder rebuild below and we'll send you through the full A to Z. I'll also include a workout sequence to build you up into that progression so you know where to start and what to focus on to build up your shoulders. See you guys. Bye. This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.